CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we welcome Stephen Yates. Steve is going to help us understand a mystery. China in the Middle East. Steve is former Deputy National Security Advisor during the Bush administration to the Vice President, and he's CEO of DC International Advisory. The puzzle is this, gentlemen. China needs resources, chiefly oil. And therefore, its cash and carry business, its promises with Tehran make a great deal of sense. We know that Tehran has defeated the sanctions by smuggling, by tricky means to get oil to China. It is not clear that there is any oil in the Gaza Strip. In fact, I can almost guarantee there is no oil there. So how China has enwrapped itself in the Middle East is a mystery. Steve, I come to you because it's Groundhog Day in the Middle East. The Palestinian Hamas are throwing rockets, and the Israelis are defending themselves, and that's been the same for many decades now. Therefore, what is China in this mix? It used to be, 10 years ago when Gordon and I started speaking with you, it used to be that China was the dovish wingman to Russia. No longer. China is aggressive everywhere. Is it aggressive in the Middle East, to your knowledge? Good evening to you, Steve.
Good evening, John and Gordon. Well, I think there have been two long-term roles that China has played over the last few decades. One is, as you described, I think they have clearly chosen a side in the struggle for mastery over this broader region, and they've chosen what used to be the Persian Empire, but it's a Persian Empire that's driven by Islamist radicals at this point. And their terror network is massively destabilizing to the region. But China, for energy and other reasons, does seem to have moved in that direction. Prior to that, though, the China role often was basically to encourage anything that was spiraling in a direction that would bog the United States down. In some ways, it would sound as though it was lip service to international organizations, whether it's committees at the United Nations or elsewhere, but it would be ways that the United States, either by way of troop deployments or other kinds of engagements, would be bogged down so that China might have a freer hand or bargain away any kind of pressure the United States was putting on China elsewise. And so they've been playing somewhat these two different games. I think increasingly, though, it's gone back to the former that you led with, where they've clearly picked a side, and that pro-Tehran side is what animates what their role would be in trying to draw some equivalence between Hamas hurling missiles at Israel civilian targets and then the Israelis responding in their own way with much more precision strikes, really.
Gordon, a detail about China and its momentarily retired Belt and Road. Did the Belt and Road involve Tehran, to your memory? Were they dealing with the mullahs before they needed the mullah oil? Is this a long-standing conversation for them because of their ambitions?
Well, Beijing has long and deep-seated relations with Iran. And we see this, for instance, with the proliferation of nuclear weapons technology and plans to the Iranians. And that goes back to about the 70s. And so this is three, four decades old.
You have a question for Steve Gordon.
Steve, there are two sides. And as you say, China's picked one. China traditionally has had good relations with the other side, Israel. Strong commercial ties, technology ties. China now has operations at the port of Haifa, which is critically important for a number of reasons. What do you think Beijing's relationship with Jerusalem is going to be going forward?
Well, it's definitely true that they have played both sides. And they've also had warm relations with the coalition of Arab states that in recent years was engaged in the Abraham Accords and forging a new relationship with Israel. So it's unclear that China, somewhat explicitly coming down on the pro-Tehran Hamas side of this, is going to be in their best interests going forward. Israel has been somewhat clear-eyed about what it was getting with China. I think a lot of us in the United States policy community that were concerned about China weren't always comfortable with the security relationship between some of the high-tech enterprises of Israel and those of Chinese defense and technology circles. But I think with China pushing the scales in the blame Israel crowd of the United Nations, won't sit well with the Israeli electorate, which I think just perpetually remains in coalition building and attempts over recent years.
Steve, about China's general posture towards the world, it's aggressive in its own neighborhood, certainly. Taiwan, Hong Kong, Xinjiang, Mongolia, Tibet. Is it aggressive outside of its neighborhood in general? How do you see it? For example, Gordon delivered a report the other day that China's exploring access to a port in West Africa on the South Atlantic. But I can interpret that easily as aggressive. Is China comfortable being aggressive, projecting power overseas, not in its inland seas?
I think in recent years, it's been increasingly so. I think it starts out being aggressively defensive. If they are engaged in some kind of activity that gets put under scrutiny or ends up in contention, whether it be in Canada or Australia or Europe or other far-flung parts of the world, they're aggressively defensive for sure. These days, they're aggressively active in political warfare. In either promoting their own cause or trying to name and shame actors in other countries that are critics or concerned, whether it be from Xinjiang or technology or other issues that come up. So I think that aggression has globalized in a more systematic way in recent years. And certainly if they have an interest in a particular resource, they've shown a willingness to be very, very committed to bully and to use whatever means of influence or manipulation at play.
Gordon?
Steve, if China really wanted peace in the Middle East, and if it wanted peace between Hamas and Israel, I suspect it would put a lot of pressure on Tehran to put pressure on Hamas to stop the firing of the rockets into Israeli civilian territories. Have we seen any pressure that Beijing has exerted on the Iranians in order to stop this?
I've seen none. If it exists, it is exceedingly well concealed. China has very much enabled Iran slipping through sanctions that have been imposed in times past related to their nuclear programs or otherwise. And it really doesn't have a history of pressuring Tehran one way or the other in the Middle East. And I strongly suspect that it, frankly, in the cold calculation of Beijing today, it doesn't seek peace in the Middle East other than its access to fossil fuels. If that begins to be threatened and their economic engine begins to sputter, that's the only thing that they'll change their calculus. Otherwise, instability in the Middle East gives them a freer hand in the Far East.
Checking in on where China is aggressive, because Taiwan was much in the news these last weeks, but momentarily replaced by the tragedy in India and the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. Is Taiwan, generally understood now, is no longer in the target hairs of China? Has the story moved on? Has the pandemic changed the posture? I see that there are concerns about the virus again in Taiwan.
Well, I think that the international news focus has moved. I don't think that Beijing's focus on Taiwan has moved so much. And it's definitely a fact, as you have you intimate, that there is an uptick in caseloads of COVID-19 in Taiwan. There, I think, are a first couple of deaths reported in recent times. Now, we're talking about an exceedingly world record low rate over the last year, now moving into a little bit more spreading. Taiwan schools are closed for in-classroom teaching, and the streets are empty in the capital city of Taipei and other parts of Taiwan as they begin quarantine. But I think that has preoccupied the Taiwan people temporarily, and perhaps it's not an opportune time for China to press its advantage.
And so we're not seeing the usual pattern of military provocations. I haven't missed anything in the news. There's been nothing new. Is that right, Steve?
I have not seen anything new in recent days. Doesn't mean it's not ready to go next week or in 2 weeks or a month when the COVID cloud once again recedes in Taiwan.
Stephen Yates is the former Deputy National Security Advisor to Vice President Cheney in the Bush administration. Right now, he's CEO of DC International Advisory. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.